For the first time in its 125-year history, the Arthur Conan Doyle Estate has authorized a new Sherlock Holmes novel. Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, reviews The House of Silk, a Sherlock Holmes novel by Anthony Horowitz. Schinkel begins his review by reading from the book.
"It was quite elementary," returned the detective with a languid gesture of one hand. "But perhaps something of greater interest now approaches. Unless I am mistaken, that is the front door." Sure enough, Mrs. Hudson came in once again, this time ushering in a man who walked into the room as if he were making an entrance on the London stage. He was formally dressed in a dark tail coat, wing collar, and white bow tie with a black cloak around his shoulders, waistcoat, gloves, and patent leather shoes. In one hand he held a pair of white gloves, and in the other a rosewood walking stick with a silver tip and handle. His dark hair was surprisingly long, sweeping back over a high forehead, and he had neither beard nor mustache. His skin was pale, his face a little too elongated to be truly handsome. His age, I would have said, would have been in the mid-30s, and yet the seriousness of his demeanor, his evident discomfort at finding himself here, made him appear older. He reminded me at once of some of the patients who had consulted me, the ones who had refused to believe they were unwell until their symptoms persuaded them otherwise. They were always the most gravely ill. Our visitor stood before us with equal reluctance. He waited in the doorway, looking anxiously around him, while Mrs. Hudson handed Holmes his card. "Mr. Carstairs," Holmes said, "please take a seat." Well, the exploits of Sherlock Holmes have fascinated readers and moviegoers for over 100 years. Attempts to reproduce the mystery, suspense, and excitement of Holmesian endeavors has been going on for decades. So it is small wonder that today's book would take up that effort, The Siren Song of Sherlock Holmes and His Trusty Physician Partner, Dr. Watson, Are Strong. And gladly, I can recommend today's book, The House of Silk, to you. It's certainly one of the best Sherlock Holmes stories written since the master of the man, Sir Conan Doyle, put down his pen. There is plenty of turn-of-the-century London atmosphere and fog, witty Sherlock Holmesian intellectual jousting, and earnest Dr. Watsonian storytelling here to keep a Sherlock Holmes fan, including myself, involved from page one. Today's tale begins with Sherlock Holmes once again astounding Dr. Watson with his uncanny ability to relate the events of Watson's day up to his arrival at 221B Baker Street by using only Sherlock's remarkable power of deductive logic. The tale soon takes a darker turn, however, with the arrival at 221B Baker Street of a London art dealer who has an urgent need to talk with the great Sherlock Holmes, as we heard at the outset, to ask for Holmes's help in dealing with an evil ambassador from the American crime syndicate that the visitor calls the Flat Cap Gang, a criminal ambassador sent, so Mr. Carstairs fears, to London to do him harm. Sherlock Holmes, of course, is intrigued and takes up the case. But after what soon seems to be a tragic but satisfactory end to Mr. Edmund Carstairs' plight, our story quickly turns into a much deeper and threatening tale of peril involving the mysterious House of Silk, a peril which threatens to envelop Holmes and Watson as well as the Honorable Mr. Carstairs. Listen as Sherlock Holmes turns to his older brother Mycroft Holmes for help as our story's plot thickens immensely. "No, Sherlock, I do not intend to stay long." Mycroft took out the envelope and handed it to him. "This is yours. I'm returning it to you with some advice, which I very much hope you will take. Pray continue." "I do not have the answer to your question. I do not have any idea what the House of Silk is or where it may be found. Believe me when I say that I wish it were otherwise, for then you might have some reason to accept what I am about to say. You must drop this investigation immediately. You must make no further inquiries. Forget the House of Silk, Sherlock. Never mention those words again." "You know I cannot do that." "I know your character. It is the reason why I have crossed London and come to you personally. It occurred to me that, if I tried to warn you, it would only make you turn this into a personal crusade, and I hope that my coming here would underline the seriousness of what I say. I could have waited until this evening, and then informed you that my inquiries had led me nowhere, and left you to get on with it. But I could not do that, because I am concerned that you are putting yourself into the gravest danger, you, and Dr. Watson, too. Let me explain to you what has happened since our meeting at the Diogenes Club. I approached one or two people that I knew in certain government departments at the time. I assumed that this House of Silk must refer to some sort of criminal conspiracy, and I only wished to discover if anyone in the police or one of the intelligence services was investigating it. The people I spoke to were unable to help. At least, that is what they said. What happened next, however, came as a very unpleasant surprise. As I left my lodgings this morning, I was greeted by a carriage and taken to an office in Whitehall, where I met a man whom I cannot identify, but whose name would be known to you and who works in close association with the Prime Minister himself. I should add that this is a person whom I know well and whose wisdom and judgment I would never question. He was not at all pleased to see me and came straight to the point, asking me why I had been asking about the House of Silk and what I meant by it. His manner, I have to say, Sherlock, was singularly hostile, and I had to think very carefully before I replied. I decided at once not to mention your name. Otherwise, it might not be me who is now knocking at your door. Having said that, it may make no difference anyway, for my relationship with you is well known, and you may already be suspected. At any event, I told him merely that one of my informers had mentioned it in relation to a murder in Bermondsey, and that it had piqued my curiosity. He asked for the name of the informer, and I made something up, trying to give the impression that it was a trivial affair and that my original inquiry had been nothing more than casual. All of the major Sherlock Holmes characters are here. Holmes, Watson, 221 Baker Street rooming house maven Mrs. Hudson, Holmes's Stratovarius and his ever-lurking needle with his 7% solution all appear. Even the Baker Street irregulars make important and a tragic appearance as our tale slowly spools out. The same Scotland Yard Inspector Lestrade we've come to know and love, or at least respect, is here, as dim-witted in Sherlock's opinion as ever. As Watson asks at one point, "Do you not think that Lestrade will also be inquiring at the pawnbroker's?" Holmes replies, "I somehow doubt it. It is so obvious that it will not have crossed his mind." The House of Silk is not a quick read. This is a novel, not a short story, a difference in format that allows our author, Anthony Horowitz, the leisure to develop his plot over time and allows him to give us more insight into the lives and thought processes of Holmes and Watson. As an example, at one point Anthony Horowitz allows Dr. Watson to reminisce about the often maligned Inspector Lestrade, and noting that Lestrade has passed on between the occurrence of the events in this case and Watson's writing down of it, Watson apologizes in part to his readers for some of his past less than complimentary descriptions of the inspector. As Watson writes, "First, I had never described him in perhaps the most glowing terms. The words rat-faced and ferret-like spring to mind. Well, as unkind as it was at least accurate, for Lestrade himself had once joked that a capricious Mother Nature had given him the looks of a criminal rather than a police officer, and that, all in all, he might have made himself a richer man had he chosen that profession. But where I perhaps did Lestrade an injustice was in suggesting that he had no intelligence or investigative skill whatsoever. It's fair to say that Sherlock Holmes occasionally spoke ill of him, but then Holmes was so unique, so intellectually gifted, that there was nobody in London who could compete with him, and he was equally disparaging about almost every police officer he encountered. Put simply, next to Holmes, any detective would have found it nigh on impossible to make his mark, and even I, who was at his side more than anyone, sometimes had to remind myself that I was not a complete idiot. Lestrade was, in many ways, a capable man. Were you to look in the public records, you would find many successful cases that he investigated quite independently, and the newspapers always spoke well of him. Even Holmes admired his tenacity. And the dialogue that Dr. Watson weaves through his reports of his and Holmes' investigations peppers this text. Dialogue such as, "We must leave at once," Holmes said. "By a lucky chance, we have the object of our investigation on our grasp. We must not let him slip through our fingers. 2, the London atmosphere is spot on. Foggy London town, in this case, in late November. It was almost dark, and with the coming of the night, the sense of ease that I had felt had quite dissipated, and the city had once again turned cold and hostile. The shoppers and the entertainers had all gone home, and their places had been taken by a different species altogether, shabby men and gaudy women who needed shadows in which to conduct their business, and whose business, in truth, carried shadows of its own. All in all, The House of Silk is a worthy addition to the Sherlock Holmes tradition. It is a read that you'll enjoy and puzzle over page after page. Allow me to quote from Publishers Weekly's review. Quote, "The hype surrounding what's being billed as the first pastiche ever officially approved by the Conan Doyle estate is amply justified. Authentic. Horowitz gets everything right, the familiar narrative voice, brilliant deductions, a very active role for Watson, and a perplexing and disturbing series of puzzles to unravel. And the legion of fans of the originals will surely be begging for Horowitz to dip again into Watson's trove of untold tales." End quote. By the by, the author, Anthony Horowitz, is no newcomer to the genre of mystery writing. He is a number one New York Times best-selling author of the Alex Rider series and the award-winning writer of PBS's Foyle's War, as well as many other film and television projects. And Mr. Horowitz lives in London. Well, let's conclude our review by picking up the story deep into our tale of mystery as Dr. Watson relates the tale of his and Sherlock Holmes' descent into the late November London night, on their way for the first time to discover just what the House of Silk may in fact be. The fog, thick and yellow, was unfolding through the streets, deadening every sound. Vile, it seemed, like some evil animal snuffling through the darkness in search of its prey. And as we made our way forward, it was as if we were delivering ourselves into its very jaws. We passed through the alley, trapped between red brick walls dripping with moisture and rising up so high that, but for the faint silvering of the moon, they might have completely blotted out the sky. At first, our own footsteps were the only sounds we heard, but then the passage widened, and the whinny of a horse, the soft rumble of a steam engine, the rippling of water, and the shrill cry of a sleepless baby echoed out from different directions, each in its own way defining the obscurity all around. We were by a canal. A dog barked. We walked past a barge tied to one side, chinks of light just visible behind the curtained windows, smoke billowing out of its chimney. Beyond was a dry dock, a tangle of ships barely visible, hanging like prehistoric skeletons, their ropes and rigging trailing down, awaiting repairs. We turned a corner, and all of this was swallowed up immediately by the fog, which fell like a curtain behind us, so that when I turned around, it was as if I had just emerged from nowhere. Ahead, too, there was nothing, and if we had been about to step off the edge of the world, we would have been no wiser. But then we heard the jangle of a piano, one finger picking out a tune. A woman suddenly loomed up in front of us, and I glimpsed a wrinkled face, hideously painted, a gaudy hat, and a feathered scarf. I caught her scent, which reminded me of flowers dying in a vase. She laughed briefly and then was gone. And finally, in front of us, I saw lights, the windows of a public house. This was from where the music was coming. "We are here, Watson," Holmes whispered, and I could see his breath frosting in front of his lips. He pointed. "There is Millward Street, and I would imagine that to be Creer's place. You see the red light in the doorway." "Holmes, I beg of you one last time to let me accompany you." "No, no. It is better for one of us to remain on the outside, for if it turns out that I am expected, you will be in the stronger position to come to my aid." But it was still with the greatest misgivings that I watched Holmes cross the road, momentarily disappearing from sight as the fog and the darkness embraced him. He emerged on the other side, standing in the glow of the red light, framed by the doorway. In the far distance, I heard a clock strike the hour, the bell sounding 11 times. Before the first chime had faded, Holmes had gone. It's a great, great read. If you are a fan of Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and all the rest of them, pick up and read The House of Silk, a Sherlock Holmes novel by Anthony Horowitz. It's available at all of our fine libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.
That was Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed The House of Silk, a Sherlock Holmes novel by Anthony Horowitz.